Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
You guys feel that? It's game day.
Oh,
game day.
Turn me up.
Jhené and Gola Jr. You're... Seriously, banning it. Banning it. Jhené and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, filling in for Jhené Egbuemeke today. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline here, trying to get hyped for game day here. And Cliff, our producer, is trying to scare people in their car on the ride home here.
Yes.
God forbid people have a fear of loud noises while they're driving around. They swerve off the road. Now you're liable, Cliff.
Steelers, it's Cowboys, it's America's team. Let's go. I'm so hyped, man. Football is back.
He's trying to pivot.
How?
You pivoted from the guilt. That's all
guilt.
That is, there should be some guilt right there.
There's no shame. I can play this 10 more times.
I'm going to ask you to not. Maybe stick with the air raid sirens. Something a little more tame relative to that one, other than legitimate bomb sounds. Right, there we go. All right, snaps are perfect.
Subtle.
Snaps are perfect. We like snaps around here as we get ready for the Hall of Fame game in the NFL tonight. Very excited for that one here. There's a lot we can learn there. There's a lot we can learn also mining Instagram today, because we might have to talk about Tom Brady out here.
Baby. I
just heard Doug Brown in the SportsCenter update talking about the NFL average value of the franchises up 14%. The Dallas Cowboys tops on Forbes list yet again in all of this. Thomas Patrick Brady went to Instagram stories to say the salary cap dropped by 20% and the new media deals were announced the day after the 2021 salary cap was set. NFL players better wake up, added the NFLPA, and then finished it with NFL players are ignorant.
This man is going power to the people.
Oof.
Tom Brady? Known labor force advocate, Tom Brady?
Known proponent of the people, Tom Brady here.
I don't know what bizarre world we're living in.
Again, Tom Brady says he has found his voice down in Tampa.
Yeah.
He's a little bit liberated from what's gone on recently with the New England Patriots here. This is always interesting to me, especially for a player in Tom Brady, that I don't remember hearing a lot of public history of his direct involvement with what goes on in the Players Association. That's always the difficult part of all of this, is there are a lot of people who have opinions, but very few that seem to want to directly try and help the situation. So I know it's always the frustrating. Ryan Clark, Dominique Foxworth, both guys that work with us here at ESPN who are parts, either Ryan Clark as the PA rep, Dominique Foxworth as the PA president at one point in time here, the difficulty of trying to get people to not only voice opinions, but to want to be involved in the process, especially the biggest and brightest players in the league, is always a difficult thing.
And it's also like finding the balance of wanting to welcome opinions, but also not showing that there's too much diversity of opinion, right? We saw that in the last labor negotiations where it was a difference of, what was it like? A very small amount of players decided that ratification of the collective bargaining agreement. And so there was just this massive chasm between the haves and the have-nots that you're trying to get everybody on the same page while making sure everyone's involved. But, oh, by the way, just don't screw up the money for us all. Just making sure. It's such a difficult line to walk.
It's the difference between, my dad was a part of a labor stoppage when he was a player, I think 1985, or it was the late 80s, somewhere in there when dad first got into the league. But you always got to remember back then when players were striking, which is the best weapon you've got as a player to try and go out there and secure the bag, they were making $60,000 a year. That was the kind of salaries you were making. Free agency hit my dad towards the end of my dad's career in 93. Reggie White, noted D lineman, signed one of the first big free agent deals. Dad signed a pretty good free agent deal going down to the Dolphins, but the money changed since then. Rookie minimum's got to be near $500,000 now. When you walk in the door as an undrafted guy, if you make the team, you're potentially making $500,000 a year as a 21-year-old. That's hard to come by, which means that's money that's easier to screw up now. Add an incentive for us to say, hey, let's just get back out there and play these games, because I got on average 3 years to make more money than my peers and try and hold on to that to give me a nice head start. So lots of complicated stuff there that Tom Brady feels like tapping into on a Thursday heading into the first preseason game.
Real quick, just received a text message from a good buddy of mine. I'm in the car. It's not that scary. Talking about the bomb sound.
Man, listen.
All right, don't go getting confirmation bias just from the homies.
This really is.
That's what are we doing, Doug?
Echo chamber Cliff over there sourcing his Philadelphia folks to try and come in here and defend bomb sound.
It's a .me website.
Listen, 888-729-3776 is the bomb sounder scary.
Cliff is doing his own research on this one right now here. Yes. Cliff Cousins on the board for us today here at ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales here. We do have actual football tonight coming up, the Hall of Fame game, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Dallas Cowboys in this one. And Trev, I think for Dallas, who we previewed doing our season look-aheads today, three and out, three big questions for them, largely centered around Dak, that offensive line, and Zeke Elliott. We're not going to see much of that tonight. We're not going to see Zeke Elliott probably play much at all in this game. We know Dak Prescott nursing that kind of
strained shoulder,
yep. lat strain that he's got going on. For the Steelers on the other side, the future of this franchise at the quarterback position, getting somewhat of an audition tonight. I think I saw Mason Rudolph expected to be the one trotted out there first, but former first-round pick for the Washington football team, Dwayne Haskins, is going to also be in that quarterback room. Trev, how realistic do you think it is that either of these guys could end up being a longer-term answer for this team?
I'm not entirely sold on the idea of either. I'm even less so sold on the idea of Mason Rudolph because of all of the instances that they've used him as purely a Band-Aid, purely something that'll kind of get them to the next time Ben is ready to suit up. It's just been so apparent that there hasn't been a true trust in putting him forth as the future of the organization. Like, that's just not something that they've made clear, to me at least, in regards to Mason Rudolph. I think that Dwayne Haskins, as you put it earlier, first-round reclamation project. So there is a shot there that I think they're taking into the dark, but there's never been a real investment since Mason Rudolph from the standpoint of the draft or any sort of capital movement from the standpoint of draft picks or trades or anything like that, that they've said we want to set ourselves up under center for a long time coming outside of Ben Roethlisberger. So there's, because of that, like, no, I don't think we're actually getting a look at the future. It's just we're waiting to see what Ben looks like at this point for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, because the biggest difficulty, I think, for young players coming into this league, and we talk about it all the time in terms of their development, is when you get a quarterback like David Carr is the best example of this, ending up in the early Houston Texans and getting absolutely blitzed every play by players. You can't develop when you don't have time to protect yourself. That's what the folks in Cincinnati are very worried about in training camp right now with Joe Burrow. That's the thing, is you don't have fertile soil to plant these crops into right now. You hockey line changed the whole thing and didn't invest a lot of top-end draft capital in that O-line. I compared them to what we saw with New Orleans and the Saints, right? What we've had in that situation down there. Drew Brees, for the last couple of years, we saw that arm running out of gas as we got late in the year. We all kind of knew, and there was other writing on the wall, the NBC deal waiting for Drew at the end of that rainbow. But that team had Taysom Hill on the roster, who we know Sean Payton's got a love affair with, used him as that jack-of-all-trades kind of weapons in there. And then you brought Jameis Winston over, who, another first-round reclamation project, but one that came over with markedly more top-end production than anything we had seen from Dwayne Haskins so far. And Dwayne Haskins, we know, smaller sample size. We had a five-year period of Jameis Winston in Tampa, where at times he was a quarterback that was putting up damn near 5,000 yards, a quarterback that, yeah, had 30 interceptions, but also had 30 touchdowns to go along with it. There was enough to work with in a system that you thought might rein him in. And the Saints have now put themselves in a position where, yeah, financially, burning in a hell of their own creation. God, yeah. But at the very least, at that all-important position, you feel like there was some nod to the future beyond Drew. I don't feel like we've gotten that in earnest from this franchise in Pittsburgh. And now, because you've refused to kind of plant your foot firmly in that direction, I feel like you're staring at a 2022 that's got to be scary, because you're not going to be, I don't think, bad enough to be able to draft one of the quarterbacks next year, whether it's Sam Howell, whether we're talking about Spencer Rattler. I don't know. Is Spencer Rattler going to be draft eligible
in
this next year?
I think he is, because he redshirted. No? Yeah.
I think he redshirted 1 year. Yeah. So, yeah, so Spencer Rattler would be draft eligible, be the number one quarterback in this draft. Like, I don't know if you're in range for any of those guys, which makes next year very problematic, unless all of a sudden you're counting on Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson being guys that want to pry themselves out of their location, and you somehow looking like a fertile ground for that in that sweet spot.
Right. Because that's where I was going to go. It's like, are you really going to be that appealing to the likes of Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson to say, like, I want to set up shop there? Sure, you have a head coach there that, in the lineage of head coaches, has always been one of those stalwarts that you can count on and lean on to be the presence that brings players in. But that only goes so far, especially at the quarterback position. There's just been this love affair with Ben Roethlisberger and the idea of him riding off into the perfect sunset from the Steelers organization that is getting to be really problematic. wanting to send him off right doesn't necessarily set you up for the future. I'm not telling you to go full heel on your franchise quarterback and not listen to him as the way that Green Bay did, but there's also a fine sort of balance that you can strike where you're saying, hey, look, we're going to look towards the future. We know you ain't going to play every single season from here on out. You have said it so much yourself that every time you wind up in this is my last season, right? You even said it this training camp. So understanding that, we're going to prepare for the future. There's just been no true investment or real security. There's like an insecurity there pulling away from Ben Roethlisberger that is becoming very apparent with Pittsburgh and very problematic for Pittsburgh.
And we're going to see that get started in earnest tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. We'll see Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins, and see if someone can give a little spark of hope for the fans in Pittsburgh. Now, if you've missed any of our training camp coverage, check out the podcast, Chenangle Jr., wherever you get your podcast. Also, don't forget to tune into the Chenay podcast, hosted by our very own Chenay Awumike, and fueled by Gatorade. We appreciate their continued support of women's sports journalists and athletes here at ESPN and everywhere. Whatever the path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. Coming up next, though, this also begins the prospect of trying to whittle down your roster as we get into the preseason. We will tell you one coach's very unique approach to trying to make some of those hard decisions next on ESPN Radio.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations overheard around National Geographic's headquarters. Presented by the City Advantage Platinum Select Card, the card built for your next adventure. Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales filling in for Chenay Awumike today. And Trev, we've talked a lot about training camp. For anyone that doesn't know, you played your college football running back for the Harvard Crimson here.
Yes, sir.
Mike Golic Jr. played my football at Notre Dame here. By the way, I did appreciate from Trev today as we talked about Jason Garrett and what he did or didn't say or did or didn't mean at the podium, the Giants offensive coordinator, who addressed a group of reporters and told them, we say, how you doing, coach? People thought it was him demanding the media call him coach. Turns out it was probably more he didn't feel like he got an answer when he addressed a group of people. All of that led Trevor Scales to do the most beautiful thing on earth, Ivy League shaman.
Absolutely. Because it came across originally, as you said, the pretentious nature of him having the gall to be demanding to be called Coach Garrett. Boy, that was some Prince and mess if I've ever heard.
Would never. Your favorite Crimson would never.
Would never.
Harvard man.
We are out here. We are just of the people. Like, we try to. Nah, we laying low.
Because when I think of you and Pablo Torre, I think of among the people.
So. I have to draw a line. There may be a bit of distinction there that we need
to make. All right, we can probably nuance this thing out here. So now that we got through that portion of training camp in here, we did talk a lot about the parts of training camp that are less enjoyable. And this brings us down to Jacksonville for a lot of reasons. I was really excited about this Jacksonville Jaguars team. Urban Meyer's got a lot of stuff that he's done that I really don't like in his past. But the one thing we can all admit is guy's been a damn good football coach. He's been the second best college football coach in my lifetime as far as what he's been able to accomplish behind Nick Saban. And so when he came to the Jags, I was like, all right, you know what? Everywhere he's been, he's adjusted. He's found a way. And he's going to a roster that is young, that's got some great pieces on this offense and defense, just drafted Trevor Lawrence, who's one of the better prospects in the last decade at the position. And now we're starting to get these stories out of Jacksonville's training camp after everything we went through with Chris Doyle, after the Tim Tebow sighting, that Urban Meyer will use winners and losers drill to help determine the Jacksonville Jaguars' cuts. And this is basically described as like one-on-one blocking drills, little instances in practice where he creates competition, but they keep score. And he said in this instance, he's never used it to make cuts before because he was in college. But now he said he wants to be able to have this data point to show players on the cusp of different roster spots how he's making these decisions. And Travis Rockhold, who's with us, one of our producers, a big Ohio State fan, obviously familiar with Urban Meyer from his time there. And Travis, you said this was something that was firmly baked into his time at Ohio State, a regular thing for him there.
Yeah, they'd have winner and losers days. Losers get hot dogs, winners get steak, walk back to the, the facility. This is just kind of like the mentality to kind of figure out, especially with the freshmen, who's about, winning things.
And you could understand that at college. Trev, how does this hit you at the NFL level?
It's unsettling. It's unnecessary. It's so unreasonable, really, like to think that you have to manufacture competition in this way. People are out there trying to get money to put food on the table in front of them, right? Like, this is already a high-stakes environment and a level of competition that is inherent that already gives you all the information you need, not to mention you have years of sample size, or years of data to go back and track how tough a guy is, whether or not you want to test that. And there are nuances within your practice that can tell you that. But to single out the idea of one-on-one matchups leading you to ultimately decide the want to from an individual, I feel like is played out. It's unnecessary, and I don't think it's something that needs to be applied to NFL players.
Yeah, he explained his logic talking about players that are winners and cited Tom Brady and these other guys that no matter where you put them, they're going to find a way in here. And everyone, I understand, like, that's the hardest thing to qualify and quantify in football, and we have so many data points to quantify all of this. The only reason that this registers, because every coach has different drills that they do, different ways that they go about making these decisions, and maybe some coaches have quietly been keeping tallies of these things and just not said them out loud. The thing is this just seems like another moment in the preseason for Urban Meyer in the lead up to this year that kind of just chips away at the benefit of the doubt I was giving him. Because again, Urban Meyer, the person, not getting the benefit of the doubt.
No.
Urban Meyer, the coach, at every stop along the way, whether it was at Utah, whether it was at Bowling Green, Ohio State, Florida, wherever it was, anytime he had taken a gap and then taken the next job, it had always been collect information, figure out what I have to do differently, whether it is offensively how the game has evolved, my tactics as more of the CEO coach. And so hearing something like this, I always said, this is a guy I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt and say, he's going to know you got to treat grown men different. That at the NFL level, some of the same college gimmicks that I understand why you do to an extent.
Yeah.
Because college is a different game. It's a different development speed.
Formative years, all that. Yeah.
This is just another chip away at the foundation of what I was excited for, because a lot of this is too, I don't want to see Trevor Lawrence get his time wasted here. That seems like a guy with a lot of potential that you'd like to see maximized in here. Urban Meyer could still succeed, but this is just another blow to the confidence.
It's so funny that you use the concept of potential, because that was like one of his reasons for going about doing this, right? Like, he was quoted as saying, I believe in what's your record. Every man's got a record. What is it? You are what your record is. If you lose a lot, but you have a lot of potential, that's not real good. I think you should be able to assess potential, understand the potential, and you as a coach at the NFL level, you are responsible for maximizing on said potential. Not pitting your team against each other to maximize or to even understand and assess the potential. It is on you to bring it out of those individuals as an NFL head coach. You should not need these gimmicks at this portion. And then to whittle it down, right? To take someone's record in those individual drills per se.
Right.
And that be your cut line, or even have, not saying that it's going to be the end all be all for his cut line, but for even to that to have enough sway on the cut line to bring it up publicly. Like, that feels a little problematic. It feels a little quick to assess in that regard. Like, I just don't think that that is a wise way to assess your talent on an NFL roster.
No, and I can appreciate Urban Meyer's believing. I got a formula. Like, Urban Meyer knows more about coaching football than most people walking this earth.
For sure.
Can totally understand that. But we've seen time and time again, like, I always go back to David Blatt when he ended up in Cleveland with LeBron James and them, came over with a robust resume from coaching ball overseas. But they said, listen, this is a different league over here. You got to come over here and show us what you're going to do to be a part of this. Urban's got a young roster down there in Jacksonville that might allow, as I said, to get away with more of the college stuff as he learns this transition. This just feels like one of those things that, again, it's just bad PR for a guy that could still do very well coaching this team potentially, but man, has just time and time again failed to check the boxes leading up to this season of making decisions that we would associate with this level of football. So again, Urban Meyer using winners and losers drills to determine Jacksonville Jaguars cuts. It's one of the things potentially, I understand that, but this is just another in a series of decisions here. Now, coming up next, Team USA men's hoops. It was an inauspicious start to this whole thing that might still end in gold. What's been the difference? Next, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Couple of musicians making big time headlines today. The number one list item for me is going on inside an NFL stadium right now. I need to know what the reaction would be like if we told Dan Campbell with the Detroit Lions that Kanye West was recording an album inside his stadium.
First question is going to be who it is, right?
Yeah, oh, it has to be, right? 100%.
First question.
It would be incredible. Janae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golick Jr. and Trevor Scales. So we will get to one of the more perplexing preseason storylines that has nothing to do with anyone trying to make the team. But we've also got Team USA right now for the Olympics on the men's basketball side, getting ready to have an opportunity to go for gold. We've got plenty going on in the NBA as it pertains to what we've seen in free agency. And so for more on that, we head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to our friend and ESPN NBA insider. Also, you can hear him on the Hoop Collective podcast. Brian Windhorst joins us here now. Wendy, we appreciate you giving us some time. It seems like a far cry from where we started the Olympics with Team USA here. Is there an argument to be made that Kevin Durant's Olympic performance might be more impressive than what he just did even in the NBA playoffs?
Well, first off, as long as you're talking about Durant and Kanye West, I'm here to tell you, and I can report, that they are in contact, that Durant and Kanye have been discussing Kanye's new album, and Durant has listened to some of the tracks on it. I know there was a big listening party while we're all over here, but Durant has, I don't know if he's consulting, but he definitely has been talking to Kanye since Kanye holed up in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So, you know, talk about crossing of worlds there. It just shows you all the things that Durant's got going on right now. Durant has been, guys, he's just been brilliant. And I mean, if a lot of these games are happening overnight and maybe you're not seeing them, and I understand that. And so maybe you're waking up in the morning and you're seeing, oh, he had 23 points. Oh, big. I mean, that doesn't sound like a very good game. I mean, I've seen the guy score 50. I can't articulate how important he has been to this team. He has just been awesome. And in this game against the Australians, they were in real trouble. And again, if you woke up and saw the final score and saw that they won 90-something to 70-something, you may say, well, no big deal. But this team was in real trouble yesterday. And they were down 15 points and nothing was going their way. And you could just feel Kevin Durant's gold medal and championship experience. He just grabbed the ball and said, guys, I'm going to get you through this. And he's done that several times here. And I expect him to have another brilliant gold medal game on Saturday when they play the French.
KD getting that A&R credit on Donda is actually going to be phenomenal.
That's expert-level reporting for Brian Windhorst right there. Nothing but the best.
Without question. Speaking of A&Rs on random rappers' albums, LeBron James on 2 Chainz, but he actually, he being LeBron, had the tweet that has been deleted, then was reposted and deleted again about the detractors regarding the Lakers and their collective ages. But Mike and I had a hard time finding said detractors. Wendy, were you able to find any people that were talking down on the idea of that roster coming together beautifully and as a potential championship run?
Before I say this, I just want to be very clear. I cannot believe that I'm going to be able to have this statement. But I have actually talked to 2 Chainz about the NBA and about LeBron. And I have to say, 2 Chainz is very, very knowledgeable. He really is aware of what's going on in the NBA, knows like nuances of the salary cap and stuff. Like, excellent basketball fan. I actually think you could probably have 2 Chainz on to analyze the league, and he would be good. He wouldn't even have to talk about his music. Okay. You asked me about the Lakers, though. So, yes, I think people were having their fun. We're talking about how old the Lakers were. And I thought it was hilarious that Kendrick Perkins was like, oh, my God, I love all these signings. And I was like, I know, Perk, they're all your buddies. They're all your contemporaries. They're all your age. So, of course, you love it. You want to get out there because you play with these guys and love these guys. But I'm going to say a couple of things. First off, the Lakers did sign some young players. They signed 3 guys in their 20s, and Anthony Davis is in his 20s. So even though you can look at their old roster, I do think that they are balanced in terms of experience versus youth. My concern for the Lakers has nothing to do with age. My concern is that this team won the title and was a serious title contender last year before the injuries because of their defense. I know that we think about LeBron's great offensive play. We think about everything that Anthony Davis can do. When we think about that title, we think about that three-pointer he hit in the bubble, went screaming and yelling Kobe's name. But this was a great defensive team, and it was a great defensive team because of team defense. Well, they have basically traded away all of their really good defensive players other than LeBron and AD. And LeBron and AD are being asked to play different positions this year, and the guys that they have signed, for the most part, are not good defensive players. So That, to me, is the real challenge for them. And it's not an insult to question that. They can do it, but it is, you know, to completely rebuild a team from essentially scratch. They basically are having three players back, and one of them is Marcus Gasol, who's not going to play that much. Is there going to be a real tough thing? And it's going to be interesting to watch.
It's going to be really impressive to see how the Lakers do this, but not nearly as impressive as it has been listening to our ESPN NBA and hip-hop reporter Brian Windhorst drop gems at 7:30 a.m. local over in Tokyo. Brian, I am in awe of your greatness. Anytime you want to come back on and drop more of those nuggets, we are always going to be happy to have you. Thank you, my friend, and enjoy the rest of the games.
My hip-hop knowledge has now been exhausted. Have a nice day.
That is, you guys see it. If you're watching on ESPN Plus right now, ESPN hip-hop reporter Brian Windhorst joining us on the Goodyear Hotline here. Incredible reporting from all the way over in Tokyo. Trevor, I'm not going to lie. I was not ready for that one right there.
At all.
I know Brian's a man of many talents here. But to find out, again, according to ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst, that Kevin Durant has been in contact with Kanye West, who is locked inside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, about his album, and that Brian Windhorst has apparently recently talked to 2 Chainz about things like the NBA salary cap. I didn't have that on the bingo card for Thursday.
Yeah, Wendy probably had the plug on 2 Chainz's idea of what John Collins was going to sign for long before. We could have gotten this unbelievable work by Wendy.
Some people's better is just better. That applies to ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst. Coming up next, if you thought that was going to be the only musical news broken today, no, no, no. We're going deep inside the vault for this one next. You're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, kind enough to come hang out with us today, filling in for Janae Aguimike, repping Atlanta as always.
Here. Got to. No other way to do it, right?
Oh, listen, all day, every day.
I mean, you got to claim the hometown.
Why not? Listen, I wish I had a hometown I was super proud of here. Avon, Connecticut doesn't have nearly as much cool gear or as much civic pride, so probably going to let you hold on to that one. But
thank you.
We also had a lot of great guests come by today. Todd Archer, our ESPN Cowboys reporter, and Anita Marks, who works at 98.7 ESPN. You can also catch her on the Daily Wager. Helped us preview the Cowboys and the Giants, respectively, as we got started with 3 and Out, our training camp coverage that'll take you all the way up to the end of the preseason, hit the 3 biggest questions for each team heading into the NFL season. We also talked to Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst, and Brian Windhorst, our ESPN NBA and hip-hop insider here.
Man.
Dropping gems.
Everybody came with the heat today. I ain't gonna lie. Everybody did, man. It was good.
It was a robust group today.
Yes.
I promise you, Brian Windhorst blew both of our minds from 7:30 local in Tokyo. If you missed any of that, check it out. Download, subscribe, rate, and review the Janae and Golic Jr. podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go ahead and bring this thing home here. It's been a hell of a day leading up to the Hall of Fame game in the NFL. It's time to keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Or as LeBron would say, keep that same narrative energy.
Narrative
here.
Energy, yes, narrative energy.
Keeping that same energy is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. And keeping that same narrative energy, it's looking like gold coming up this weekend. Team USA men's basketball led by an unbelievable Kevin Durant, who is the best player in the world. I'm just going to say.
There it is.
If there was any doubt, I know we did the thing in honest reverence of Giannis's playoff performance and what he did. Kevin Durant's the best player in the world. He's the reason that Team USA is going to be vying for gold after an inauspicious start.
Without question.
But Trev, I want to get to this one. Team USA men's baseball also has a chance to go ahead and go for gold this weekend, but they've already secured a medal regardless, which puts us on the cusp of something pretty incredible. Eddie Alvarez is a member of that team who's got a very unique story. He joined our show before the Tokyo Games back on July 2nd. He was on. It was me and Randy Scott hosting that day. Here's some sound from that on just what Eddie has at stake coming up now.
We'll do it so you don't have to, Eddie. We'll get aggressively ahead of ourselves and say, if you do medal, if Team USA medals here in Tokyo, you would be, I'm curious if you're aware of this, you would be just the 6th person ever to medal in both the summer and a winter games?
Yeah, I had that fun fact thrown at me not too long ago, actually, and it's it's pretty awesome, man. I mean, I've always, you know, when I was younger, always envisioned myself as going down as one of the greatest athletes to ever walk. But is it pretty safe to say that I'd be the most unique one?
And so that was Eddie Alvarez with us again, who now has secured a medal. So he will be one of six to medal in the Winter Games and the Summer Games. It was speed skating in the Winter Olympics for him. And now part of Team USA Baseball. He's a Miami native. He's also spent some time in the Marlins minor league system. So pretty incredible resume.
Just, okay, so speed skating, baseball infielder. I think brother's Korean, right? Like part Korean or something. But regardless, like that is just unbelievable, the collection of things that are coming under his umbrella. Like, nah, go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, some people, like we talk about, I always joked about being a jack of all trades. This is doing that on the highest level. Like, this is master of several kind of things that we're dealing with. So big congrats to friend of the program, Eddie Alvarez, as him and Team USA are going to go for gold coming up this weekend in Tokyo. Chinnan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, keeping that same energy. Big news out of there also. France defeats Slovenia 90-89, despite Luka Doncic going for a triple-double here. And in the Olympics, that is rarefied air. The triple-double becomes the first and now the just third known triple-double in Olympic men's basketball history, the first since LeBron James in 2012.
Out of complete necessity from Lucas. Yes. It was nobody else about to do a daggone thing on that roster, so it was out of necessity for Luka. But shouts to him. I don't want to take anything away from him.
Bomani Jones called it Luka and the Pips, which, perfect, to be fair, was basically what it looked like when the Mavs played the Los Angeles Clippers in the first round of the NBA playoffs, and it still almost worked in both spots.
Correct.
Like, we're talking about semifinal losses, correct, here in this instance here. So Luka Doncic out here doing the damn thing in a way that surprises no one here. We stand our thick king. We lost Nikola Jokic on that crowd. He became the slim guy. We'll see. Eventually, I'm sure they're going to come for Luka and talk about fitness and all
1,000%.
That stuff. I'm going to enjoy him being on the beefier, yes, side, doing impressive things for us here, keeping that same energy. We've got the report. We heard actually more connection on this from Brian Windhorst. Kanye West, noted hip-hop artist, has been finishing up his album Donda, another studio album from Kanye, now on an Apple Music live stream from inside a room in Mercedes-Benz, yeah, Stadium where the Atlanta Falcons play. Trev, we've seen the video of it. He looks like a strange tin man from a horror movie inside this. I've seen guys doing push-ups. Chance the Rapper looks like he's being held hostage in there.
Yes.
What the hell is going on?
Quick answer, I don't know. It just, like, he had that suit that looked like it came out of Christian Grey's closet, and I was disturbed immediately. Like, that's terrifying. And what does that do for your productivity? How is that helping the album?
I guess that's my thought process, is you came here to, in theory, isolate. Like, you got this multi-million dollar ranch in Montana or wherever, but you're going to hold up in this little room, but you're going to play dress up instead of doing the album. Like,
right, I don't see no equipment in there. Where is it? what's going on, bro?
The thing I hate, and the reason we're tolerating this, though, is that the listening party that they streamed gave us hope.
Yeah, it did.
It actually sounded pretty good. So really, really worried about that one. But Trev,
I think he spent more time in NFL Stadium than your career, Golic.
Not wrong.
It's an ounce of, yeah.
the ones where the truth actually creeps into it hurt a little bit here. I'll tell you guys how my mom roasted me on that front in a different day not too long ago. But keeping that same energy here, God in heaven, Cliff. I'm going to end on a positive note here before I go put hands on Travis in a way that's COVID-friendly. Keeping that same energy, Taylor Swift did it again, man.
Okay.
The Queen was out here after narrating Simone Biles' memoir
that
on NBC.
Yes.
Taylor Swift went into the vault here, sending out a cryptic anagram yet again to tease the songs from the vault, the unreleased tracks for her re-release of her album Red that's coming out in November of this year. Travis, derailed my entire day. I got a whole word finder here. I figured out a couple of the features, and they're electric, but I'm still going to let everyone else do their homework and not ruin
Famo,
it.
Famo, is it worth it, though? Does it pay off when you go through all that, and it just gets released anyway, and it's right there? Is it worth it?
Every single time.
No.
Always.
No, it ain't.
For Taylor?
You're going to make me work. No.
Every single time.
Man, an artist on this earth that's going to make me do all that mess just to get a track list.
You're going to meet the one day, Trev, and when you do, when you know a love like this that's burning red, you're going to go out here and do whatever it takes to get to that point here. Stick with it here on ESPN Radio. I'm sure Spain and Fitz are going to break this down next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.